Romans chapter 14, if you would, please. Romans chapter 14. Last week, after we looked at the character quality of deference, we had a number of questions along the lines of how far do we go? Where do the deference lines are drawn? Where do they stop? And I've had other people ask, okay, if we continuously defer, at what point does it stop? Can someone go as far as telling me everything I can and cannot do in the privacy of my own home and those kind of things, okay? So, rather than moving on to another characteristic, I'd like us to go back and look at the idea of deference again from Romans chapter 14. Remember, the basic definition of deference is limiting my freedom for those that have God's called me to serve. So in other words, I say, you know what, I'm going to give up some things so that I can better serve those that God has called me to. That's really the essence of Romans 14. Paul opens the chapter in verse 1 and says, "Him that is weak in their faith receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him." Okay, as we paint the picture here a little bit, Paul is describing for us people who are, number one, both Christians. Number two, both believe they're doing right. Number three, their rightness is in conflict with each other. Okay? And here's the problem. Matter of fact, I had someone tell me one time, there's no gray areas in the Bible. I'm like, really? Well, what do you do with passages like this and other passages of Scripture? It does sound bad to say, well, what can be right for you can be wrong for somebody else, and what can be wrong for them can be right for you, because we want to say there's an absolute standard of God's word and it doesn't change and it doesn't move and God knows what that is and so forth. That's where the rub is, okay? So by its very nature, some of you are going to disagree with others in this room. That's by its very nature. That's what the whole thing is about, okay? So what I want to do tonight is give you a quote-unquote formula. This is not original with me, but it is really, really good. I can say that because it's not original with me, okay? That hopefully will help you as you come to this subject, all right? So let's look, and we're going to move through the passage just quickly. We don't have time to deal with every detail here. But if you want a title to the message, the title is Stop and Think. And I'm going to give you an acrostic of S-T-O-P from this passage of Scripture, okay? So Romans chapter 14 and verse 13 says, "Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." So the S of your stop sign is a stumbling block. All right. Now let's picture what Paul is doing for us here. The word judge literally means to render an opinion. The word picture that Paul is trying to create for us is that you set up a courtroom and you pass judgment on those with whom you disagree. That's the word picture that Paul's trying to give for us, okay? So you pass judgment on them for what they're doing. By the way, can I give you the overall essence of deference is this. Deference is not something you press on someone else. It's something you do for others. Okay, so the very nature of it is, if I'm pressing someone else to defer to me, I've missed the whole idea of deference. Okay? That will change our perspective. So, how far do people push me? Well, if they're pushing you, they've missed the whole idea of deference anyway. And if they're a Christian, they're supposed to be deferring. All right? So the idea of judging is in this passage. Now, just quickly, you know this, but don't let this passage say, well, I'm not allowed to ever judge. Because we know from other passages of Scripture that there are times when we judge. We judge righteous judgment. We look at someone and say, I'm sorry, but that's contrary to the Word of God. Clear, defined standards in the Word of God. All right? And that's where that rub gets there, okay? I told you I'm gonna rub it a little bit before we get done here tonight. All right, what about the word stumbling block? What does it mean? It means that over which a soul stumbles. In other words, by which it's caused to sin. All right, that's what Paul's talking about here. So again, we mentioned this last week. It's not a preference. It's would this actually cause me to sin? If so, then that's placing a stumbling block in the path of a brother or sister in Christ. An occasion to fall is literally to trigger a trap. So he says, whatever you do, if that item that you're doing causes a brother or sister to a trap to be triggered, and now they're in sin, that would be wrong for you. You need to be careful of it. Okay, again, the primary focus on this point is not to limit others, but to limit yourself. Okay? That's what Paul's really trying to get at. You limit yourself. This is not something you hang over other people. It's something you hang over yourself in the process. So stumbling block. Number two, Romans 14 and verse 16. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Now, if we back up a little bit, we look at verse 14. He says, I know and persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. So Paul's made a declaration statement here. He said, look, this meat that we're talking about here is not in and of itself unclean. But, he says, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So if someone thinks it's unclean and to him it is, okay, then we've got to be careful here. By the way, Paul deals with multiple subjects in this passage of Scripture. A variety of things. So it's not just one issue. He deals with holy days and how people observe those. He deals with the diet aspect. He deals with meat offered to idols. He says, verse 15, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. In other words, you're not loving him because he's grieved over it. Destroy not with thy meat for whom Christ died. Now Paul says, is meat really worth destroying a brother or sister in Christ? The answer to that is absolutely not. It's just not worth that. And then he says, let not then your good be evil spoken of. All right, so the T is your testimony. Your testimony. Though you can eat the meat and enjoy it, why would you do that if it's going to cause your brother to actually be destroyed? Paul says, that makes no sense. How is the love of God and the love for your brothers reconciled with the fact of, well, I have a right to eat meat if I want to? Okay, you do, but isn't there a bigger thing going on here with your brother in Christ? Is your good being reviled or evil spoken of? That's the idea of it. It's a very good interpretation or translation here. How do those you are trying to minister to view what you're doing? It may not be wrong, but if you're ministering to people and they view it as being wrong, how is that limiting your ministry? And is it really worth that in the big picture? Verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify another. So the O is others. Others. Our pursuit should be towards peace, not towards hostility. Okay, so whenever I get to a situation that's debatable, it's not something clearly defined in Scripture, but it's debatable. Am I pursuing peace or am I pursuing hostility? You know another way we could say that? Am I pursuing being right? Or am I pursuing loving my brother? That's really what it really boils down to. And the fact is, I've met some people that they're more concerned about being right, and if it bulldozes people in the process, well, I'm sorry, that's what they get for being wrong. You understand that attitude is so contrary to Scripture that you've totally missed the point. So we have to be careful with that. Now, you say, yeah, but I'm passionate about this. No, you're kidding. They were too. Some of these people believe sincerely, this is the way I'm supposed to do. Whatever we do, we should ask, will this build up my brother or sister in Christ? Will this build them up? What is this going to do to them? And again, hearts. It's not something you turn on them. That doesn't build me up, brother. Okay, that's not your focus. Okay, your focus is, how am I helping others be built up? And then the P is persuaded. Am I fully persuaded in my mind? We go back to verse 5 to get this, but also verses 22 and 23. Verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. In his own mind. Verse 22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So even if an item is not sin, but you think it's sin and you do it anyway, it's sin for you. You're like, yeah, but it's not sin for him. Well, he probably don't doubt it. He thinks it's perfectly fine. So no, it's not. And this is where some people get up. They're like, whoa, wait a minute. I've actually had people say this to me. Sin is sin, and God has a standard, and that's it. Well, it's pretty clear from this passage of Scripture that there are some things sin for some people and not for others. Now, does that mean that we can take, again, clear Bible passages and make them not sin? Okay, that's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about those things that God defines. God says that certain, like, let's just take the Ten Commandments. God says those things are sin. We don't get to redefine those because we live in a culture that's okay with that. But there are items that we have to say, well, you know what? That's just not clearly defined there. You should be certain this is what you and your family are to do. And then I've already said this, but even if something is not wrong, but you think it is wrong, then it is wrong for you. Okay? So the principle of stop, stumbling block, testimony, others, and are you fully persuaded in your mind? Now, does that answer every question? It doesn't, all right? But it does answer a lot for us. And if I will stop and think about this, then it'll help me a little bit. Okay, so here's what I want to do tonight. I want to take a controversial subject and deal with it, okay? Some of you are already nervous, okay? Now, I already know that we have different opinions in this room. Hence why we chose the subject. Hello. If we all agreed, if we're going to talk about the resurrection, well, hello. Can't be a member of Emmanuel Baptist Church if you don't believe in that. So, you know, we're there. That's one of those clearly defined things there. Okay? But I'd like to talk about a subject a little bit tonight and see, can we work through this, and can we disagree and recognize that, you know what, this is probably wrong for me, but it may not be wrong for someone else. Now, let me warn you. Don't get too passionate about this, because some of you are going to want to. All right? So this is the question. Is it okay for us to go to movie theaters? Okay. Josh, you can't have an answer already. I'm just kidding. All right. Now, let me give a couple of disclaimers here. Okay? Number one, if you are a faculty member or student at Ambassador Baptist College, the question for you is already solved. Because the student handbook and the faculty handbook says so. All right? If your parents say it's wrong and you're under their authority, the problem is already solved. Those are not gray areas because they're already defined for us by God-given authorities. All right? But assuming that that's put aside for a minute, is it wrong? Go to movie theater. Now, let's get some more background of this. Would we have asked this question 50 years ago? Probably not. Okay? You say, all right, would general everybody in the Christian church 50 years ago considered movies wrong? I think that's probably a pretty good thing to say yes. All right? You're like, well, what's the difference? Okay? Here's the real questions come down to this. What's the difference in watching a good film? Let's take the movie Courageous or Fireproof or some of these good if you will, Christian-based films. What's the difference in watching it in a movie theater and watching it at home? I still gave my money. That's one of the arguments. I give my money to something. What's the difference in those two? Can going to a movie theater be okay for some and wrong for others? Does the Word of God specifically say, thou shalt not go to a movie theater? I can just give you a little hint on that one. It doesn't say that. Okay? Do we have differing opinions in this room? Now listen, my wife said, are you sure you want to do this tonight? Listen, I'm not trying to make people mad. What I want us to do is think. Okay? I want us to think through some processes. All right? So if you in this room tonight, I'm going to try to make some specific applications. We don't have a long time to do this. But if you in this room see someone that says it's okay to go to movie theater and you think it's not okay to go to movie theater and you say they're wrong and they're sinning, you know what you've just done? You've set up your courtroom, which is exactly what Paul told you not to do. Okay? Now, let me give another disclaimer here. Would we all agree that there are movies that no Christian should ever watch? Okay, that's a no-brainer. All right? Let's throw another little caveat into it. What's the difference in going to a movie theater and have a cable television in your home? Or some other kind of provider? Or an app that you play the movies on or whatever? Okay? Do you see where we're coming from with all this? All right, so don't judge your brother. How many of you, if you didn't have an ambassador rule book, you didn't have a parent rule book, you think it's okay to go to a movie house, assuming, of course, that the movie's not, we understand the filth that's there and so forth, but let's assume that it's a good movie. How many of you think it's okay to go to a movie and watch it in a movie house? Raise your hand. Okay? How many of you think it is not? All right? Interesting, isn't it? How many of you looked around like, think they're raising their hand over there? Okay? Now, would be interesting to know why. Okay? So, let's just talk through this for a minute. If you think it's okay to, why? Why do you think it's okay to? Josh? Okay? Okay? Okay. Can you control what previews are seen on the movie screen if you're watching a good movie? Okay, so then would you be exposing yourself to other stuff that you cannot control? Okay, by the way, I'm going to argue for the other side too, so just, you know, with that, okay? Someone else from that side, just quickly. Okay. 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 Okay, Dale. So what do you mean by that? I understand that. But what I'm saying is by the way, I rarely go into movie theaters. I haven't been in probably, I'm going to guess, 31 and a half years or so. But the last time I was in one, 31 plus years ago or whatever it was, part of the history of the movie theaters where they showed previews of other movies before they showed the main feature. that was my point with that. Not that I was trying to change rules. That was not my initial point. Okay, we got to quickly flip this side. Brother Wes. So in other words, what you're saying, if it was a G-rated movie, the previews are going to be G-rated as a general rule. Okay? All right, those would not... Yes, Carrie? Okay. So that would go to that testimony aspect. Okay. I'm going to get Wes's, then I want to go to the other side quickly because we don't have much time. Okay. Those of you that would not go, can you give me why you would not go? Anybody? Kim? Okay. Okay. Someone else that would not go. Your reasoning, Connie? Okay. So you would reference the testimony aspect or the others in that process. Okay, can I flip that switch on you a little bit? 1 Corinthians 13 says, let not your good be evil. Love thinketh no evil. So if someone sees you going in there, shouldn't they think good about you and not the evil about you? Should they assume that you're going to watch the good movie, not the bad movie? Okay. All right. So, I understand that. Okay. So, let me ask this question. This one's maybe the most controversial of the night. How many of you believe that this is a subject that would fall into this category rather than being a definitive thing? You think it would fall into this category, all right? Raise your hand. All right, how many of you believe it doesn't fall in this category? It's a definitive thing. Okay. All right. So, hope I hadn't made a whole bunch of people mad here tonight, okay? Right. So, Brother West's point is, when you watch a good movie like Courageous, you're not supporting them per se. You're supporting those good movies being produced. That would be the argument on the other side of that. You're still going to a place, but you would still be, if you buy other equipment that would involve that, you're still somewhat supporting it too. That would be the flip side of it. So, anyway, we got to go. I know you're like, let me just say this, okay? So that you don't get too upset. I would not go to a movie. Okay? And some of the reasons that have been mentioned are for me. Okay? I feel like, personally, I can control more in my home than I can in a movie theater. Right? Whether it is blocking out stuff that I can intentionally block out, or I can fast forward, or I can, you know, do whatever. But I personally believe that this is an area in which this passage can be applied. Okay? So I just think, and there, by the way, there's many others of these we have to work through. Now, should you, if you decide that you're not going, should you automatically apply your standard to someone else? And that's where we've got to be careful in this whole process, okay, as we think about deference. By the way, there are things that I do not do for two reasons. Not because I think they're wrong. I don't do them because I love teaching at Ambassador Baptist College. And I love some of you. I actually love all of you. But some of you have specific problems with some areas, okay? That I know you have problems with, by the way. And so I'm not going to do those things because I would rather have you. I would rather minister to you. I'd rather minister at the college. And when someone says, I'm not willing to do that, to me that speaks to deeper issues that they're struggling with, rather than that they're not willing. If they're not willing to give up some things to be able to better minister to people, that's a whole nother ballgame, in my opinion. Okay, so whatever you cling to, be careful as to why you cling to it. And Paul said, would you be willing to never walk in a theater again if it helped you minister to people better? That, and if you say no, that's a problem. Okay? And that's what Paul's dealing with here. It's really not that big of a deal, is what he's saying. So it's really important as we work through that. All right, we're a little bit late. Adios. Hopefully you're encouraged and not mad when you walk out of here tonight, okay? Lord bless.